You are listening to the weekly podcast from Journey Christian Church. For more information about Journey, please check out our website at journeychristian.com. We are a community of fully devoted disciples of Jesus who reach out to love our neighbors, serve the hurting, and develop leaders for ministry.
We are calling today's message the best day ever. And the question is, what if I were to ask you, what is your best day ever? And the cool thing is everybody would have a different response to what your best day ever moment was. Maybe some of you, your best day ever moment was the day that you finished your very last class and never had to go to school ever again. No offense, teachers. Or maybe your best day ever was when you finally found the one fishing spot where you caught your biggest fish ever, you know? And now you got that honey hole, and man, I get it. Like, yeah, it's like, that's a big day. Your life's never been the same. I get it. Maybe your best day ever was when you got married, or maybe when you had kids. I don't know your best day ever. There's a guy named Tommy Cool. I think his best day ever moment was last year, or at least one of them. See, Tommy's a golfer. Last year, he was a senior in college, and he's trying to become a professional golfer and qualify for the U.S. Open, which is really hard. It's a big deal. And to qualify, you have to meet certain levels of golf. You have to have certain scores. In one qualifying tournament that he's in, he's having the round of his life. He shot a 62, which is absolutely incredible game of golf. I mean, it was huge. And he finishes, shoots a 62. He signs the scorecard, which makes it official. The day is over, and he's walking out with a teammate. And as he's walking out, the teammate begins to complain about how hard it was to putt because the course just got aerated. Now, if you don't know about it, what it is they punch a bunch of different holes in it, and it's a way not to prank the course. It's a way to make the grass grow back stronger and healthier than ever, and it's kind of a necessary evil for a golf course. And that day happened to be the day that it was aerated. So putting was a little bit challenging. Now, when you golf, if you don't know about this, there's a little golf tool that's made that when a ball goes really high in the air and lands on the green, I've heard about this, I don't do that. So when it lands on the green, you use this tool and you bend down and you just kind of fix the little mark. It kind of leaves a dip, and you do that to make it level and smooth. And it's totally normal, it's totally legit. Pros do it, normal people do it. It's just part of the game of golf. And so naturally, Tommy did that throughout the day. But as he was leaving and talking to his teammate was talking about how the holes in it reminded him that there is a rule that is very unknown because it's so obscure, that when the course is being aerated, you're not allowed to use that tool to mess with any of the holes, to fix those. And it's not really for your game. It's to speed it up because it would take forever if everybody messed with them. And he knew that he had done that throughout his round of golf, which means he went against the rules. And so for him, he had to make a choice. In golf, it's important to understand, it's not like in other sports where there's a referee and there's a court or a field and they're just constantly judging or watching that. Golf is different. It's really made in honesty because you've got people everywhere and you got to self-govern. Well, for him, it wasn't really that difficult of a choice. He went and told the official what he had done, and he knew what would happen, and what he thought would happen, happened. Told the official, and he ended up getting disqualified. Best day ever, and then just down the tube, disqualified, DQ'd. And here's the point, even on your best day ever, you and I still don't measure up. Even on our best day ever, we're still not perfect. We're still gonna do something called sin that breaks our relationship with God. That's what Romans 3:23 is all about. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And some of you are like, man, are you serious? This is what I got up and came to Easter so the church can tell me that I'm a sinner? Gee, thanks a lot, Pastor. Listen, that's not why we call today the best day ever. You already knew you were a sinner. As a matter of fact, many of you have beating yourself up for months or years because of that. This is not new news. We don't say it's the best day ever because of Romans 3:23. We say it's the best day ever because of Romans 5:8. This is what it says. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, your sin is not a surprise to God. He knew about it. Not just your past sin. He knows about the sins you're going to do this afternoon, the sins you're going to do next decade. He knows all about your sin, and it doesn't surprise him. And some of us think that we're scared to come to God with our sin and confess our sin and our shame and our mess and our brokenness because we think it's going to be like a golf official, and he's just going to disqualify us. That if God finds out about our sin, he's just going to squash us. But God's not here to disqualify you. He's here to redeem you. And it's so important that you understand that distinction. And that's the whole point of Easter. And here's what we know when we come to God with confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So when we come before God, when we raise our hand and say, God, I'm a sinner in need of a savior, he doesn't DQ us. He doesn't disqualify us. He actually forgives us. He purifies us from all unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I've been a knucklehead all my life. I got sin after sin after sin. Man, what a great exchange to give him my sin and receive his righteousness. And that's exactly what he says when we confess because of the cross. That's why we gather. It's the Easter story. You see, it's important for us to understand that the cross wasn't a surprise. It was a plan. They didn't corner Jesus. They didn't trap Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven. He was already on a throne, left his throne, left heaven, came down here for you and for me. The cross wasn't a surprise. It was part of the greatest rescue plan ever known to man. And Jesus voluntarily gave himself up to be killed on a cross. And before they killed him, they tortured him. They beat him. They whipped him time and time and time again, opening up his back and shoulders. Absolutely excruciating. They spit on him. They mocked him. They stripped him naked to humiliate him. And then Jesus was forced to carry a heavy wooden cross, the cross that he was going to be nailed to, up a hill called Calvary. And I was just imagining, I don't know this, but I'm just imagining punch after punch, whip after whip, step after step. What was Jesus thinking? And the answer is simple. He was thinking about you. That was the whole point. He was thinking about you. And listen, he wasn't thinking, oh man, those guys are just a bunch of knuckleheads. Look at all the sin and the shame there. Why couldn't they just get it together? That's not what he was thinking. He was thinking, I'm crazy about these people. I don't know if you know this, but God has your picture on his refrigerator. You're his favorite. He loves you. He's crazy about you. If you don't hear anything else, you need to go, God is crazy about you. And on top of all that, he was betrayed by one of his closest friends. And on top of that, many of his other disciples and friends and followers abandoned him. On top of that, he was innocent. On top of that, everybody knew that he was innocent. Everybody knew that he was innocent. And then they nailed him to a cross between two criminals, one on his left and one on his right. One of them was mocking Jesus as he was dying. His dying hours, he's just mocking Jesus. However, the other one recognized that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And in that moment, he had the best day ever. Literally on a cross, dying, he had the best day ever because it was at that point he began a relationship with Jesus. And Jesus, while on the cross in front of everybody, tells this criminal, today you will be with me in paradise. And some of you think, Pastor, listen, I understand grace, I understand Jesus, but you don't understand what I've done. No, I don't understand what I've done, but I would say you don't understand what he's done. It's the whole point of the cross. He didn't come here for white lies and misdemeanors. He came for everything. He came for every type of thing you could ever imagine. That's what he died on a cross for. My sin put my Savior on a cross. That's the whole point. It's important for us to understand kind of who was responsible for the death of Jesus. You had the Romans, which were their governing authority. And they were so powerful, they were strong. They invented the crucifixion just for that reason, to make it as painful as possible. And then you had the Jewish leaders of the time, and it's hard for us to understand, but back then, religious leaders, specifically in this era, the Jewish leaders were incredibly influential, incredibly powerful. So both entities were very powerful. Everything was about greed and lust for more and control and power. And anything and anybody that was a threat to that power, they would eliminate immediately. And they saw Jesus as a potential threat to that power, so they killed him, and they wanted to make a public statement about it. And here's the thing. Their greed and lust for more made them miss and dismiss the miracles of God. And as I reflect on that, even 2,000 years later, I think about maybe we have more in common with them than we'd like to admit. That our lust for more, our greed for money and control and power and influence and career advancement or whatever it is, all of that can make us this Easter miss or dismiss the miracles of God. And our heart and our prayer this morning is that you would not either miss or dismiss the greatest love story ever told, and that's God's love for you. But we miss it when we grip on to control and power and greed. But it's in letting go that God gives us what we've been wanting all along. Unconditional love and grace. That Friday, Jesus breathed his last breath, horrifically killed on a cross. They take his body down, and by the orders of the authority, they put him in an empty tomb. They put a big boulder in front of it, and they sealed it to make sure that nobody would go in or out, and then they put guards to stand watch. That's Friday, and some of us already know the story. Sunday is coming. And just because I talked about golf doesn't mean we could be quiet in church, okay? So I said Sunday is coming. Yeah. There we go. Sunday is coming, and some ladies come to the tomb, and they see that the boulder had been moved, the seal had been broken, and there are no guards, and they're not sure what's going on. They step in, and the tomb is empty, and a lot of people expected something, but nobody expected no body, and that's exactly what they found, that the tomb was empty, and it's changed course of history forever and ever and ever because the tomb is empty. That's why we celebrate. There you are. I'll take it. Tomb is empty. It changes everything. Tomb wasn't just empty. Jesus appeared 8 times to over 500 people. 8 times to over 500 people. He says, here I am. You can see me. You can touch me. See my scars. I have conquered death once and for all because your sin and my sin causes death. And Jesus came to conquer that death so that with a relationship with him, we no longer have to die. We worship the God of the living, not of the dead. He conquered death once and for all. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful exchange. Christ exchanged his righteousness for our sinfulness. It's the greatest love story ever told. And when we hear the story of Easter, it makes me think of two really, really good questions. The first question comes from 90s rapper Heavy D. Now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it? Listen, some of y'all came to church on Easter morning jamming Heavy D. Don't be judging me, okay? We gotta answer this question. Now that we found love, what are we gonna do with it? And every single one of us has to answer these two questions. And just because I said that, I already know there's some alpha males in here. They're like, just because you told me I have to do that, I'm not gonna do that. You can't tell me what to do. Listen, here's the deal. Everybody is going to answer this question. Now that you found love, what are you gonna do with it? And here's how I know that, because not answering the question is answering the question. Not saying anything to Jesus is saying something to Jesus. If you're not embracing him, then you're stiff-arming him. There is no in-between. There is no gray. Now that we found love, what are you going to do with it? Choice is ours. Second question, you may have heard something like this through the years. It's a great question. It's a deep question. Question something like this. If you were to die today and stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? It's a great question. Instead of me trying to unpack that question several years ago, I saw a Scottish pastor, Alistair Begg, answer this question beautifully. Check this out.
If you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You'd never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said, you know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, like, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor angel. So, we just a few questions for you. First of all, Are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer.
Isn't that good? The man on the middle cross said, I can come. That's it. It's not about anything I've done. It's not anything about you've done. There's this man named Jesus, and he knows everything about me, and he still said, I can come. It's hard for me to understand how people reject that kind of love and grace. Like, is there a different form of unconditional love and grace I'm unaware of from a different, incredibly loving and all-powerful God of the universe that has already sent his son or done something more extravagant? You're not gonna find a more beautiful exchange than what Jesus is offering today. The man on the middle cross said, I can come. Listen, you don't get into heaven because of something we did. Heaven gets into us because of something he did. Amen. And that's the whole gospel, that up there came down here to get in here. And that's what Easter's all about. And some of us think that it was up there came down here and it's here, but it's never gone here. It's not about how much you know about God or the Bible or church. It's about how much of a surrendered heart. And have you surrendered your heart to make Jesus the Lord of your life? It's a great exchange. I don't know if you're familiar with the tradition of the jersey swap. It started in 1931 in a soccer match between England and France. And after the game, the players begin to exchange jerseys with one another. Here you have NBA players, Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, several years back. These are Hall of Famers, the best of the best, and they exchange jerseys. It's very common to do this kind of jersey swap in basketball, football, soccer, different sports around the world. And it started in 1931, almost 100 years, and they've been exchanging jerseys. And the way a jersey swap works is you find your rival from the other team, somebody that you respect, and you exchange jerseys as a sign of respect, but you always find somebody that's on your level. So if you're the captain, you would exchange with the other captain. If you're a level 8 player, you would exchange with a level 8 player. If you're a 4, a 4. If you're a bench warmer, a bench warmer. You're never going to have the captain go and exchange with the bench warmer. You're never going to have the MVP exchange with somebody that's the worst on the team. That just doesn't happen. It's an equal sign of respect. It's a jersey swap. It's incredible. As a matter of fact, we saw this play out in a funny way, at least I thought it was funny, on Monday Night Football, and Peyton and Eli Manning are doing the commentary during the game, and after the game, there's a potential jersey swap. Well, you have two people trying to swap jerseys. You have one of the people, Christian McCaffrey, who is an MVP candidate this past year. I mean, he's really, really, really good. And somebody approaches him, will just say he's not an MVP candidate. And this person wanted to do a jersey swap with Christian McCaffrey. And it didn't quite work out. Check this out.
Jersey swap? Jersey swap? Is Kirk swap jerseys?
No. Oh, here, yeah, Phillips.
Not Phillips, Phillips is McCaffrey.
Phillips and McCaffrey.
It's not a fair trade. It's not a fair
Phillips,
trade.
Phillips is like, hey, let's change jerseys. Let's trade. And McCaffrey's like, no.
I'm good. Yeah.
They ended up settling for a photograph. That was it. You see, it wasn't level. And when Jesus does the great exchange, the greatest exchange, he wants to exchange jerseys with us. He wants to give you his purity, his righteousness for our sinfulness. And it doesn't make sense because he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. And we're like maybe a one on our best day. We're like a two compared to him. And he's the greatest of all time. It doesn't make sense. It wouldn't add up. But here we have today the GOAT, the greatest of all time, wanting and begging to do a jersey swap with you and me. But here's the other rule about a jersey swap. A jersey swap only works, as you just saw, if both parties agree to the exchange. That's the only way a jersey swap works. And we know that Jesus already is in on the jersey swap. He proved it on the cross. And so the question is, do you want a jersey swap? The question is, do you want to trade jerseys? Do you want to receive his righteousness, his grace, his love and mercy in exchange for your sinfulness? Choice is up to yours, but both parties have to agree. This is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. A couple verses later in verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's what that means. In him, we receive the righteousness of God. The most holy of holies, we get that righteousness in exchange for our sinfulness. You're not gonna find a better deal on the planet ever. It's the greatest exchange. It's the greatest jersey swap you could ever fathom. And God offers that today. That was what the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection was all about, was the greatest exchange in the history of our world. Today, we're gonna have an opportunity to do a jersey swap. Today, we're coming out with brand new baptism shirts. These are our baptism shirts. Best day ever. We believe Easter is the best day ever, but we also believe the day that you decide to go all in by going all under and surrendering your life to Jesus and getting baptized, we believe that's your best day ever. Yep. We got a room this big and people online, additional seating, Lake County. There's many of you, you've already had your best day ever when it comes to surrendering your life to Jesus. But some of you, you've never had that best day ever. You're still carrying your sin and your shame and guilt. You've never received forgiveness. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Today could be your day. Today, we're gonna give you opportunity to have a jersey swap. I got plenty of jerseys up here. We're gonna do a jersey swap here in a moment. We baptized so many people Thursday night, last night, this morning, sunrise, last service. We baptized tons of people. Maybe today, this service, maybe it's your turn. Maybe it's your time. Today could be the best day ever for you. Here's how a jersey swap works with Jesus. First thing you do is admit that you made a mistake. The Bible calls that sin. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And listen, we already know what God's gonna do when we repent, when we confess. We already read it. I'll read it again. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God's not here to shame you. He's here to forgive you. He doesn't rub your nose in your sin. He removes it altogether. He says, as far as the east is to the west, have I removed your sin when you repent. Second thing we do is we believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then we commit our lives to Jesus. My favorite verse, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he'll make your path straight. and then get baptized. Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let me tell you why this is so powerful. They just killed Jesus to end the movement. That was the goal, end the movement. And anybody that would have been with him would have been threatened with potential death in the same manner. And so shortly after Jesus' execution, an excruciating way, you have 3,000 people that didn't say, hey, I want to follow Jesus in a text message so nobody saw it. They didn't write a note and kind of put it underneath the door. No, they said, I want to follow Jesus in the most public baptism way possible. 3,000 people, they weren't hiding anything. Everybody knew, word traveled. 3,000 people, and here's what they were saying that day. They were saying, we would rather die for Jesus than live without him. And that's the bold faith that we talk about when it says we surrender our lives. And so in a moment, I'm gonna encourage and challenge some of you, if you've never given your life to Christ, never been baptized, to stand up, come up here and do a jersey swap. And some of you are like, man, are you kidding me? Are you this? Listen, however hard you think it might be, and I get that it might be hard for some of you, and I understand that, it's not gonna come at the possibility of you being executed. You see, that moment in church history was one of the most pivotal moments in the early church. 3,000 people stood for the name and the fame of Jesus Christ. And we're gonna challenge you to do that here in just a minute. Some of you are like, man, get baptized right here, right now. Do you not realize what I'm wearing? Do you not realize what I'm doing after this? Pastor, what are you talking about? That's crazy talk. Your baptism is a step of obedience. It's a leap of faith, and it's the beginning of a walk with the Lord that will last forever. What about like a baptism orientation or class? Oh, and I need to go to something like that. Listen, you just attended one. Congratulations. Yeah. You just graduated with honors. Good job. But pastor, I wasn't planning on it. Neither were those 3,000 people. Well, what about clothes? Well, we got you covered. No pun intended. We got jerseys. We got shorts. We got towels. We got plenty of towels, plenty of water, plenty of jerseys. We got plenty of everything. We got plenty of clothes. Some of you have plans after this to go to lunch. I can't think of a better way to celebrate lunch than making today the best day ever. Some of you just got a fresh fade. I see it, or a perm. And you're like, man, pastor, you don't understand this fade. Like, this is my Easter fade, and you want me to go and water? You don't understand what it's gonna do to my perm? Like, I get it. And listen, here's the deal. I personally, to everybody, after you come up out of the water, if something's wrong with your hair, I will be your stylist. I'll take care of it. I've been cutting hair for 20 years. I got experience, but I only have one style, okay? I only got one style. Some of you, you got a great question. I think this is a great question. It's a fair question. Some of you are like, but man, I came with my friends and family, and what are they gonna think? I think that's a fair question. Can I just tell you that the moment that you surrender your life to Jesus, the moment you make him the Lord of your life, and I don't understand if you know what this means. We say he's the Lord and Savior. He's not just here to save you. He's our Lord. And what Lord means is that we do whatever he says. That's lordship. And so when we give our lives to Christ, what we are saying is we are making his voice louder and bigger than anything else. Everybody else's voice is secondary at best. And so I'm not minimizing the voices around you. What I'm telling you is a step toward Jesus in surrender is making him the Lord of your life. And I promise you it will be the best ever. You'll never regret it. We had a couple last year that made Easter 2023 the best day ever for them. Changed their life. Listen to their story.
Hi, we're Brian and Christina Haynes. We've been coming to Journey since January of 2023.
From the minute we walked in the door, we felt welcome. Even the pastor here, the campus pastor, Russell, he walked over and introduced himself, kind of just got to know us right from the beginning. And so we really felt right at home and like we were part of a family. And so last Easter, we decided to take a step and become closer to Jesus. And so we got baptized last Easter.
Baptism was always on my mind. I always wanted to take that next step. I think it seemed like this was the right time. And sitting in service that day, I just made my decision and I just went for it.
Yeah, baptism for me was very important just because it was me showing not just myself, but my family and friends in the church that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he died on the cross to forgive me and to give me everlasting life. And so me acknowledging that and taking that step was very important. Following our baptism, I just feel like our lives changed in such a drastic, good way. I started seeing more of the goodness of God.
From the moment I walked through the doors at Journey, it's just been the best decision I've ever made. And I couldn't be happier here at Journey.
If you are thinking about getting baptized, today is such a great day to do so. If you have any concerns or questions, there's always people that are willing to help you learn more.
Yeah, I would say if you're sitting in that chair right now, thinking about it, contemplating about it, knowing you want to do it, I think now's the time. Now's the time to do it. Don't wait. Don't say what if. Just go for it. I promise you, it will be the best day ever.
Jesus changed their world. Has he changed yours? That was last Easter. Cool story I found out recently is in August, their daughter followed their footsteps, gave her life to Christ, got baptized. And then to make things even better, yes, we can clap for that. Olivia, shout out Olivia, proud of you. And then on top of that, last night we had services, Easter service in Lake County and Apopka, and out at Lake County, Brody, their son, gave his life to Christ and got baptized. Isn't that cool? So when we're talking about this idea, what are the people in my row, my friends or family, what are they going to think? What they may do is end up following your lead. They're just wondering, does somebody have the courage to lead first? You never know what's on the other side of your obedience. You never know. What we're going to do now is I'm going to give you opportunity to respond to the greatest story ever told. Everybody responds. It's a yes, surrender my life, or no, I'm good on my own. I'm going to keep chasing power, doing things my own way, whatever it is. And here in Apopka, this is what I'm going to challenge you to do. If you've never given your life to Christ, never been baptized, you go ahead and come up here in a minute. I'll tell you when. And you're going to come up these stairs right here. You'll come meet me. I'll give you a new jersey. It's the greatest exchange you'll ever have. And then you'll come down these stairs. We're not going to worry about getting you the right size. You'll get the right size backstage. You'll just get a jersey. In Lake County, what we're going to do with you is you're going to come forward after Pastor Russell gets up, and he'll give you directions to go to your right towards the baptismal. We got jerseys, a team there to give you an opportunity to do the greatest exchange you could ever do. If you're online, you can go to journeychristian.com, next steps, and we have some next steps. We'd love to be able to help you follow up. Whether you're local or somewhere around the world, we'd love to help you take those next steps toward Jesus. Romans 10:9, we said earlier, is that you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is King. He rose from the dead, then you will be saved. And so we're going to give us that opportunity right now. We're going to say a prayer together. There's nothing magical about the words. It's just if it comes from a genuine heart, that's what makes the prayer impactful. And so if you would, close your eyes, bow your head. Everybody joining us online. Everybody joining us in Lake County. Additional seating here in Apopka. I want you to repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, I want to begin a relationship with you and surrender my life to you. I repent of my sins. Will you please forgive me? Jesus, I may not be perfect, but I am yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The Bible says when just one person begins a relationship with Jesus, all heaven rejoices. And so in a minute, if people come forward and they give their life to Christ, I want this place to go nuts and celebrate just like up there is happening. We're going to do it down here. Sound good? Lake County, Apopka. And here's the thing. And if you're in additional seating, hey, we're going to wait for you. We're going to play a couple songs. And it doesn't matter how long it takes. I'm going to be up here. As soon as we start singing, you come forward. Wherever you're at, you can just ask the people to move. They'll move. If you're in additional seating, no longer how long it takes, the staff in additional seating, they're going to help you, give you some directions on where we're at. But we'll take as long as it takes. This is what we're here for. This is the point of Easter. It wasn't just to tell a story. It was to tell a story of a love in hopes that we would respond to that love. So I want to invite everybody, go ahead and stand. Acts 22:16. And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Listen, the question isn't why should you get baptized? The question is, why won't you? Let me pray. God, we love you. We are incredibly grateful for your grace, your kindness, your goodness that rescued and redeemed each and every one of us. And God, I pray for your Holy Spirit in Lake County, additional seating, Apopka online. Would you give us the courage, the strength to do what you're calling us to do right now? I pray that every single person that does not know you, would they stand and give their lives to you, surrender their lives with the greatest exchange our world has ever known, the greatest jersey swap for our sinfulness for your righteousness. Holy Spirit, would you come? In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the weekly podcast from Journey Christian Church. If this message was a blessing to you, be sure to click the follow button and share it with your family and friends. For more information about Journey Christian Church, please go to journeychristian.com.